obeisances to the Guru, the Lord, his devotees, and other superiors. The Vaishnavas offer respect to others and do not desire any respect for themselves. Offer respect and obeisances to the Guru, the Lord, his devotees, and other superiors. Get up before 4 a.m. and attend Mangalarati. Brush teeth and take bath after waking up. Take bath after passing stool. Use water after passing urine. Also, wash your hands and feet. Wash hands, feet, and mouth before and after taking prasadam. Wash hands after drinking water. Use right hand for eating and drinking. Always wear clean clothes. Never steal anything. Never use unpleasant words. Never tell a lie, even if it is pleasant. And never speak ill of others. Do not become inimical to others. Do not develop friendship with people who are envious, fallen, insane, inimical, extravagant, deceptive, lying, or illicitly related with women. And do not develop friendship with unchaste women. Do not travel alone. Do not sneeze or yawn without covering. Principle, never tell a lie. And never speak ill of others. Do not become inimical to others. Do not develop friendship with people who are envious, fallen, insane, inimical, extravagant, deceptive, lying, or illicitly related with women. And do not develop friendship with unchaste women. Do not travel alone. Do not sneeze or yawn without covering the mouth. Do not laugh loudly. Do not pass air loudly. Do not take shelter of a fallen person. Neither sleep too much nor stay awake too much. Do not outstretch your legs in front of your superiors. Do not pass urine or stool on the road. Do not spit while eating. Do not insult women. Do not become envious of women. Never cause any harm to anyone. Instead, always try to do good to others. Do not associate with unscrupulous people or read scriptures that are not bona fide. Do not mock at people who are foolish, insane, distressed, ugly, cunning, lame, or fallen. Do not chastise anyone besides sons and disciples to educate them. Take bath after shaving, copulating, or going to a crematorium. Do not hit anyone on the head or pull anyone by the hair. Do not eat yogurt or chickpea flour at night. If someone insults you, leave the place silently. Never praise yourself. Never look at a naked woman or man. Do not place foodstuffs on your lap to eat. Do not quarrel with your wife. Do not spit on water. Do not sleep in the temple room. Sannyasis should bathe 3 times a day. Grihasthas and brahmacharis at least 2 times a day. After one takes prasad, the area where the plate was kept must be cleaned. One should not step over the area where prasadam was taken because it is considered contaminated. After touching the inside of the mouth or nose, one must wash his hands. After putting on tilak, one must do achaman by saying Om Keshavaya Nama, Om Narayanaya Nama, and Om Madhavaya Nama. Now these quotes have been taken from Srila Prabhupada's books and letters and from Haribhakti Vilas. I mentioned yesterday that Haribhakti Vilas is the law book for Vaidhi Bhakti. No, yesterday in this class also mentioned that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami. And it is actually, if you go through the quote that I handed out yesterday, in those quotes, Mahaprabhu specifically mentioned to Sanatana Goswami that he wanted Hari Bhakti Vilas to become the standard. I mean, wanted him to write a book on Bidhi Bhakti, or rules and regulations of Vaishnava etiquette. So these are the basic etiquettes that a Vaishnava should try to always follow. Now, to go through the points, like if you have any questions on these points, you can ask. Yes, Vasudev. Yes. Basically, one should not be envious of anyone or insult anyone. There's one point is that don't insult anyone, right? There's one. Don't speak ill of others. Do not become inimical to others. So basically, a Vaishnava should try not to insult anybody or become envious of anybody. But specific instruction has been given not to. I mean, sometimes in your day-to-day dealings, you may, you know, insult a man. That is tolerable or understandable. But a man should always try not to insult a woman. Because the women, they are, first of all, they're dependent on us and they're weaker. So it's like when there is a conflict between equals, it's not so bad. But when the superior tries to exploit or inserts his pressure upon someone who is inferior, then it is very, very disgraceful. So that's why the understanding is the women should always be respected. The one course we'll have a class on how to respect women as mothers. Yes, Maharaj.
Do not travel alone.
Yeah, yeah. See, this was taken from Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it was actually written at a time when there was no such advanced modes of communication. So people used to travel, they used to travel on foot. And so when you're traveling alone, then if something happens, then there won't be anyone to take care of you. So that's why it is advised that you better always travel in a group, or at least take somebody with you. The example is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to South India from Jagannath Puri, then his associates insisted him on taking somebody with him. And that's why Kala Krishna Das was given with him on Nityananda Prabhu's special request. Nityananda Prabhu didn't want him to go alone. So, and of course it's better to follow this policy, especially for sannyasis and brahmacharis, because Maya is very strong, and when we are alone, Maya can very easily get us. But at the same time, when we travel by plane, it becomes rather impossible to have somebody accompany us all the time. It becomes a very expensive affair. So in such cases, it is better to have someone come up to the airport and inform the temple to send somebody to receive you in the airport. I mean, that's what I do. Is that clear? Yes,
Maharaj.
What's
the significance of Maharaj washing the feet before taking prasad?
Yes. Before you honor prasad, we must be very clean. So that's why it is important that we wash our hands and wash our feet. because our feet usually becomes most dirty from walking, and the feet being the lowest part of the body is the most contaminated, one of the most contaminated part of the body. So that's why it is better to wash our feet before we start, before we take prasad. Not only take prasad, before we enter into a temple room, before we go to the kitchen. Like in India, this system is followed very, very carefully. Like in front of every temple, there will be some kind of pond or some kind of hand pumps at least. And in Tirupati, they have the flowing water as you enter. As you enter into the temple. So you have to walk through this flowing water and your feet automatically gets cleaned. Now in the West, it may not be very easy to follow this principle, but I think in Philippines it's not so difficult. yes, Rishikesh Prabhu?
Sometimes it seems impractical to do that. I know some devotees in the West, they take water and they be wearing their socks, and then they put water on their socks and it gathers dirt.
Yeah. No, I mean, we have to be practical. Like, that's why I mentioned, in the West, it may not be practical all the time to wash your feet. But still, the pujaris, before they enter into the temple room, should wash their feet. Because the temple room should be treated in a very, very special way, in a very sacred way.
Also, when eating, it says you should eat with your right hand and drink with your right hand. When a person is using a utensil such as a spoon, and he wants to use his left hand, is that proper or improper?
Oh, according to the Vedic understanding, it is improper. First of all, in the Vedic culture, the using forks and spoon was not prevalent. And it has been, according to the Ayurveda, the digestion begins from looking at the food. And then the next process is touching it with your hands. So there are different stages of assimilation or digestion. Like you look at the food, then you touch it with your hands, and then you put it in your mouth, right? Then you chew it, and then you swallow it. And this is how there are different stages of digestion. So it is helpful for digestion when you touch it with your own hands, rather own hand. Purushottam Prabhu?
Sometimes the conflict comes in terms of the superiors inside, because there are so many different layers.
That we'll discuss tomorrow. Tomorrow's course is on, you know, relationship between the Vaishnavas, and you know, between superior, junior, and senior, and so on. But basically, a Vaishnava is respectful to everyone. Somebody who is senior by age is respectable. Somebody who is senior by position, he is respectable. And of course, the devotees, those who are senior by their spiritual standard, like those who have been given initiation before, they are superior. One who received initiation before, he is superior. One who is a godbrother of the guru, he is superior. Yes.
The first point here about offering obeisance to guru and superior is like, around here there's so many murtis of Prabhupada, so we should offer our obeisances every time.
Every time may be impractical, because Prabhupada, when he was present, even then he didn't want his disciples to offer him obeisances all the time. So, well, it's a matter of, you see, your feeling. Right? If it becomes cumbersome, right, or a botheration, to offer obeisances every time, don't do it. Right? But if you feel like, then there is no harm doing it.
And also, I'm kind of curious, I believe in Bhagavatam, I can't remember exactly, but a few months ago I read about how every time you come into a new situation with a sannyasi, you should offer your obeisances to them. But if you're the servant of a sannyasi, you should be offering your obeisances all day long.
Right. I mean, see, what is the most practical way to deal with that situation. If a sannyasi is, usually I tell the devotees, just offer obeisances once in the morning, and that's enough. At least once a day, or the first time you see him, you offer obeisances to him. And then there's no need to, because it's kind of, ours is a preaching movement, and service is the most important consideration. So much emphasis is put on the offering obeisances. Obeisance is actually an external manifestation of your internal respect. So if you're internally developing and harboring that respect, then it's all right.
I find this good way for myself to offer the obeisance to say, like, I don't get too familiar with the whole world of being an offense.
Uh-huh. Well, as I said, like, if you develop that internal respect, then you won't become familiar. So make sure that, or make it a point to be careful that internally you feel the respect. Ribhakta Ray?
I often heard that you offer obeisances in front of old deities and relatives.
Yes.
What about the new reclusion of your Lord and your deities that will offer obeisances in front of him?
Yes. Prabhupada, when he was present, then also he took worship in front of the deities. But we have to understand that Prabhupada's position is so elevated that he could take worship in front of the deities. But since in the scriptures it has been mentioned that one should not take worship in front of the deities, even Tulasi Devi does not take worship in front of the deities. That's why we draw the curtain while doing the Tulasi Arati. So what to talk about us? So we ourselves should not take any worship in front of the deities. But to Prabhupada, Prabhupada's position is so high, so elevated, that Prabhupada can take the worship of his disciples in front of the deities.
Did he tell us to do that?
We did it. He accepted it. That shows that Prabhupada's position is so elevated. Yes, Vasudeva.
There are a few instances where Prabhupada had the deities' doors closed in order to have Guru Puja conducted. He would not take it in front of the deities.
Sometimes he may have, but sometimes he did take worship.
Most of the time,
right.
He did.
Yeah. So, anyway, I would say that we do offer obeisances or worship to Prabhupada in front of the deities, but we should not try to imitate Prabhupada. That would be like drinking poison, imitating Lord Shiva. Yes, Gaurvandu Prabhu.
Sometimes we see sannyasis in the morning, early morning, before we pay obeisances to Prabhupada in the deities. So, is
there
okay to pay obeisances
to
the
sannyasi
before we
rest? Yeah, that's alright. That's alright. No, there's no problem.
Is there never a big hill above it?
Yeah.
Could that be also be considered like criticizing?
Yes. Yes.
In general?
Don't talk bad about others. See, criticism can be positive. That is, rectifying some defects of somebody is one thing. Right? But, talking bad about others is not good. A Vaishnav tries not to talk bad about others.
What if in the event that sometimes one commits sometimes apparat by doing such things, by speaking of, especially of superiors who are committing maybe some mistakes. Hmm. Who is responsible?
Good. So when something like that happens, that some superior is committing some mistakes, then go to the superior authorities, right? Instead of you directly, if he is your superior, then instead of you directly encountering with him, you go to some superior authority and you can inform him that this is the situation, I have seen him doing this and it seems that it's wrong, so what should be done, right? So this is the Vaishnava way of doing it, right? Like, to give an example, if you see your elder brother doing something wrong, instead of you going and telling your elder brother that you shouldn't do this and so on and so forth, you go to the father, right? Or you go to the even elder brother, right? And tell him that, look, he is doing this, you know, what should be done? So this is how the Vaishnavas avoid unpleasant conflicts. And the seniors know, and now if that person is very, very senior and there is no one senior to him, right? The temple president. Like in the temple, he is the senior most person. So in that case, you can wait for the GBC to come, right? Or the devotees can get together in an Ishta Goshti and discuss about the problem, right? See, the situation must be tackled with a positive mood, not with a negative mood.
Because amazing that some could become like just to talk, not necessarily to, like you were saying, go to the proper channels.
You go to the proper channels.
But when it becomes like a talk amongst.
You see, then what happens, it simply agitates the devotees, disturbs the devotees. It does not rectify the person who is making the mistakes, right? If you don't tell him, then how you're going to rectify him? Just by talking among yourselves, you're not going to rectify him. So he has to be informed and he has to be given the proper direction. Now how do you do that? You can't do that because then it will be transgression of Vaishnava etiquette, right? A junior cannot actually instruct a senior. So it's only a senior who can actually instruct a junior. So the etiquette is to go to the senior and let him handle the situation. And actually in our society, the ultimate authority is the GBC body. So even if the GBC does something wrong, then the GBC body is there who is actually representing Srila Prabhupada. They take care of the situation. So, I mean, if there is a problem, ultimately we can go to the GBC body. And that is how the sanity of our movement or the harmony among the devotees will be maintained. Yes.
39, do not quarrel with your wife.
Big one.
Do not quarrel with your wife.
I see. Try to avoid it as much as possible. Do not quarrel with your wife. How is it possible? It is possible. The first thing is that do not become too attached to her. Right? Do not spend too much time with her. Like, maintain a safe distance. Right? And if the situation becomes so unbearable, leave the place. Vijay?
If someone is told to leave the place silent.
Play silent.
But wasn't there one example of the great devotee who, when someone criticized him, he would take great pleasure? And if someone glorified him, he would leave immediately. That was
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's comment was, those who criticize me, I know that they are my friends. But those who flatter me, I feel as if they are my enemies. But actually, a Vaishnava feels very embarrassed when he is glorified. Because a Vaishnava inwardly feels very humble. He not only acts humble, but he feels very humble. Right? Vaishnava's humility is not a pretension. It's actually a genuine feeling from the heart. So when he is glorified, he doesn't feel comfortable. He knows, a Vaishnava knows, that whatever he does is simply due to Krishna's mercy and the mercy of his spiritual master. So when he is glorified, he feels uncomfortable, and then he may leave. He may say, because he is feeling uncomfortable, he may leave. But when he is... if you can't tolerate the insult, if you get angry, right, then before you get angry, leave the place. Right. But if you can digest it, very good. If you can digest the insult. Actually, I had a very nice... regarding that, I can give a very wonderful example. Srila Prabhupada had a godbrother called Srila Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Now, Babaji Maharaj was a very, very nice devotee. He was very humble, very simple. So one day, in our Calcutta temple, he came to see me in the afternoon. He used to have showered a lot of affection upon me. So he came to see me, and when I just saw him, he was coming up the stairs and I was about to go out of the temple. And so he started laughing. He said, "You know, something very, very funny happened today." So, and he started laughing. Then he said, "You see, I went to Chaitanya Research Institute. That's one of the Gaudiya Math, you know, centers in Calcutta. And you see, in Gaudiya Math also there are groups that were conflicting with each other. So somebody in Chaitanya Research Institute insulted Babaji Maharaj, saying that you are this, you are that, you are going to, you come here and tell what they say, the other group is saying, and you go to the other group and tell them what we are saying." So, and he was very, very blasphemous, you know. Like, he was actually Babaji Maharaj's godbrother's disciple. But, you know, it was a very serious transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. And he insulted Babaji Maharaj very, very badly. And right after that, and then Babaji Maharaj, he didn't take the insult at all. He said, "So, finally you recognize me." He said, "All this while, he had been telling that I am a Paramhamsa, I am this, I am that, I am a Mahabhagavat, I am this and that, and now you realize, now you recognize me, who I actually am." He says, "Very good." So he came and started telling me what happened, and he was so hilarious about it. So an advanced devotee will not take the insult. On the other hand, he will feel good about it, the way Babaji Maharaj felt, that finally you recognize me. But when they called him a Paramhamsa, a Bhagavat, a pure devotee, then he was feeling uncomfortable. Yes, Ananda.
Also the same, do not spit on water, because water is considered like Krishna's senses, and the taste of water.
Well, in that sense, everything is Krishna, right? It's not mainly, the general understanding is because the water was drunk, right? The river water or water from the pond was drunk, that's why the special care was taken not to contaminate. Maharaj?
Because it's always do good to others. Now, I'm wondering for Vaishnava, does this refer also to, let's say, altruistic activities for non-devotees? For example, let's say you're traveling in America and you're on a bus and it's crowded and there's like an old lady. Now, is it Vaishnava etiquette for you to give her a seat? Or if someone's someone's in a little trouble, or you can do some good, or do you figure that's a diversion from your service? You're supposed to be serving Krishna. I mean, how does this refer to Vaishnavas?
Yeah, actually the Vaishnavas render the ultimate auspiciousness, the ultimate good that the Vaishnavas give Krishna to the living entities. And that ultimate benefit or ultimate good includes everything else, all the inferior forms of benefits. And this is actually politeness, like it's not really doing good, but it's being polite. Like an old lady is standing and you are traveling in a bus and standing up and letting her sit there. And Vaishnava is ultimately, Vaishnava is a gentleman. And so a gentleman is naturally polite. So this kind of polite acts, although in the West they are not very much appreciated, but actually from the moral point of view, it's good to do things like that.
This specifically, refers, because naturally Vaishnava.
We are not here. We are not talking about that kind of altruistic activities or material benefits. And the ultimate benefit is to give them Krishna. And so that's what I know. Always do good to others. That is, do good to them in such a way that they become devotees ultimately. So that is the Vaishnava's main consideration. Not some fleeting material benefit. Like for instance, Vaishnava's perception is quite different from a mundana's perception. Like a mundaner would think that it is good to give in charity, good to give money to the beggars. But a Vaishnava may not give money to the beggars, or may not do some altruistic activities, right? Because he knows, he will think that if I give money to the beggar, he will go and eat all kinds of nonsense food. Or he will indulge in sinful activities. So better not give him any money. Why should I unnecessarily help him to slide down to the sinful life? Whereas a mundaner may think, oh, see, a poor man is so piteously begging for some money from this sadhu, and this sadhu driving in a posh car, and he is not giving him even a penny. So, and mundaner may think that a Vaishnava is being cruel or not compassionate to the beggars. But a Vaishnava knows that that is not the kind of service or a benefit that he wants to do to them. He would say, okay, come to the temple and become engaged in in service to Krishna. We'll feed you. So this is how a Vaishnava always tries to bring the living entities towards Krishna. And that's how he renders the ultimate benefit to them. Is it clear, Maharaj?
Does it have any reference to society of Vaishnavas to good to others?
Vaishnavas are doing the highest good to others. Mahaprabhu said, Bharat Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janmo Jar, Janmo Sarthak Kori Karu Paro Upokar. Those who are born in the land of India, they must make their life successful and do good to others. Now, the doing good to others means actually giving them the spiritual benefit, not some material benefit. And also a Vaishnava, he is a Bancha Kalpataru. He fulfills the desires of everybody. But then why doesn't the Vaishnavas go out and distribute all the money that he has? Because the Vaishnava is a Bancha Kalpataru only for spiritual benefit, not for material benefit. But if he feels that by giving him some material benefit, he can bring him to Krishna consciousness, then he will do that. But his ultimate goal is Krishna consciousness.
Yes, Rishikesh.
What Janada Maharaj was saying before about getting up and offering a seat to an elderly lady might be a way of preaching. It's preaching.
Right, yeah.
Because you're showing other people that you're...
Exactly, yeah.
And other aspects of that can also be looked upon as showing how you're such a nice gentleman. Like Prabhupada said, many people would come and tell the devotees were very bright-faced.
That's what I mentioned, that if it is beneficial for Krishna consciousness, like if by doing that it helps our image and people become Krishna conscious, then sure we should do that.
Prabhupada also said that the devotee is a perfect gentleman.
Yes, yes, and a gentleman is polite, so he would be extremely polite. Yes, Mahavishnu.
To know become semis, so how the tenure is developed and how we can avoid the tenure to other devotees.
How?
I want to ask how to not be envious to other devotees.
How not to become envious of other devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur described envy as being happy in others, seeing others in distress, and being distressed in seeing others' happiness. Right? So, and as opposed to envy, a Vaishnava's nature, he is parodukho dukhi. He is compassionate. Diametrically opposite characteristic to envy is compassion. And compassion means being distressed or being sad at others' distress and being happy in others' happiness. So we should be happy when we see that the other Vaishnavas are happy, and when the other Vaishnavas are sad, then we should feel sad. So that is how we become non-envious, or that's how we develop our compassion.
On the second one, get up before 4 a.m. and attend Mangalati.
Yes.
One class I went to attend, present to a class, they said that actually it was an offense to get up after the deities. Could you elaborate on that?
get up after the deity.
Yeah,
that means.
Deity is why twice.
Yeah, actually, we are the servants, right? The servant gets up before the master, right? So when the master gets up, and then the servant is ready to serve the master. So Krishna is our master, our Lord. So we want to be ready to serve Krishna even before he gets up. Yes, Ray?
A lot of times, we, especially myself, if we're working in a temple room, or say someone has to be in the room, and we're always in that room, just pay our days with you really fast, put our head to the ground, and just stand up right away. Should we be, is that offensive without going to say the whole?
Not to say the whole prayer?
Yeah.
Some pranam, some kind of obeisance prayers we must offer. Narottam?
Number 37,
never look
at a naked woman or man. Does that also refer to the
conjugal
leela of Krishna?
Yes, we should never. Actually, when it comes to Krishna's conjugal leela, we shouldn't even think of, you know, whether Krishna is becoming naked or not. You know, we do not know what it is like.
And some of the artists, like for example, at the temple in Dallas, a particular painting where the gopis are in the river, Jamuna, and Krishna is holding their clothes up above the tree, and the gopis are basically the naked. And when you for a brahmachari or sannyasi, is it actually proper to see these types of pictures?
Yeah, it's better not to. Yes, but
In the nectar devotion, it says that one should not offer businesses with one hand.
Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah, the thing is that sometimes, yeah, actually, this is a very good point. You see, sometimes we have one hand busy doing something, and in the other hand we offer obeisances. That's good.
Like japa,
it's better to put the japa bead aside and offer the obeisances. Yes, Vasudev.
Never lie, but so many times in the course of service, and even the superior may instruct the devotees to deal with some situations where lying is compulsory.
Actually, we should try to avoid lying as much as possible.
I agree.
Prabhupada gave a very, very strict injunction that do not lie, do not cheat. Because in this age, dharma is standing on one leg. That's truthfulness. So we must hold on to that leg as much as possible. Because I have seen, in order to produce some results, it was considered that lying, cheating, everything was all right. But we have seen what a heavy toll we had to pay for that. So I'll stop now. Okay, Narottam, your question. Last question.
Do not place foodstuffs on your lap to eat.
Yes. That is, in the West, I notice it's a very common practice to sit down, put the plate on your lap and just eat it. That's not a Vaishnava way of doing it. Vaishnava would sit on the floor and have the prasad placed nicely on the floor, wash his hands and feet, right, and honor it. So that's, and if at all you have to sit on a chair, then make sure there's a table and take from the table. Because it's not proper to put your food on the lamb and put the plate on your lamb and eat.
More respect.
Huh?
More respect.
Yeah. Hare Krishna!